Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
There's no reason to touch
and inform you in the afternoon.
I think your cheeks are a little loose.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Maz, how do you feel about the Nathan Eovaldi contract?
He's overpaid. He's overpaid. Now, again, so this is the part of it that I need to make clear, because, again, otherwise just Maz is the a-hole again. Here we go, which, fine, I'll accept. I'm just telling you, I wanted Nathan Eovaldi back. I like Nathan Eovaldi. I'm glad that the Red Sox kept him. But that contract for a guy of his, with his resume at this stage of his career, is a gross overpayment. Gross.
Gross.
Gross. I told you yesterday.
What should the number be?
3 and 40.
Okay, based
max.
On, so that's 13.
Even that's a lot.
13 a year, based on what?
Even that's a lot. Based on his resume.
No, no.
Based on who he is.
No. You got to base it on market. What do other comparables make?
Okay, so I've been trying to. In fact, it's funny you said that because I'm trying to work on that as we go. So you're just going to have to wait a minute, Mike.
Okay,
I know that's not
right.
One of your necessary. All right,
fine.
It's not ace money, Maz.
No.
This is exactly my point.
Yeah, it's not ace money. I never said it was ace money. I'm just telling you that
he's making less than your fourth starter.
He's making more than he should.
He's making less than whoever Porcello is, your third or fourth starter.
Based on his resume, Rick Porcello gives you 200 innings every year or 30 starts, give or take.
So you think
call it 190 innings.
So should Rick Porcello – so he should be paid more, and he is.
He is, correct. But I'm telling you that given what Nathan Eovaldi is, he shouldn't be making 17. Nathan Eovaldi should be a lot less than that. He has no real history of durability. He has no real history of consistent success. And so, to me, he's a guy that, given how it finished in the year, you knew it was going to explode. I initially thought the number was going to be $8 to a year. It's 18 to 20 was closer. I wasn't even in the same jurisdiction. By the time it went along, I thought, well, I was low to start. And I ultimately settled at 3 years and 40. And if they wanted to give him a vesting option, if he stays healthy, fine. Four and 70 million, basically, or 68, whatever the number is. Crazy. For this guy, crazy. Now, I'm glad he's here, but don't tell me it's a good contract because it's not a good contract. That's my only point. I'm happy the guy's here.
Is it a bad contract?
It's not a destructive contract.
What, Murray? What's so funny?
It's just you want to say it's bad, but you don't want to be that harsh.
No, it's not a bad contract from the standpoint of debilitating. It's not... 25, it's not Giancarlo Stanton at $30 million a year and now he can't play anymore or something like that. It's not that, but it's a lot of money for a guy who really, to this stage in his career, does not warrant this kind of salary. So they're the Red Sox. They can absorb it.
So you would have let him walk as opposed to paying this?
I would have. Yep.
And go to Houston or the New York Yankees and make them better?
I would have. Yes, indeed, Murray. You find that hard to believe.
No, it's a bit high, but I think that there was a real bidding war for this player with those two teams that are your best competition in the American League. And you look, Dave Dombrowski right now, I'm not doubting him. I know you do because you tend to lean negative, but considering what he did this last year, and the only bad move he really had was Ian Kinsler, I'm trusting the man.
Yeah, I don't believe in the whole in Bill we trust thing, and I certainly don't believe in Dave we trust. So, like, all of a sudden they win a World Series, and you're not supposed to look at the move and say whether it's a good move or a bad one?
No, again, I think it's a little bit high, but it works in two ways, that he's back, and I think that he can either be used in the bullpen or as a starter, and he's certainly willing to do both, and you keep him from going to New York.
Yeah, it's not a little high. It's a lot high. It's about 40% high. It's a borderline outrageous contract for a pitcher of this.
Outrageous.
Yeah, borderline outrageous.
In today's day and age, where a guy like him who strikes people out, has velocity, can start, can relieve, obviously isn't psyched up by the big moment, obviously. Add all those things up, and it's outrageous?
It's borderline outrageous.
Borderline outrageous.
Borderline, not, right on the cusp.
Not quite outrageous.
It's teetering. It's right on the edge.
Just rageous.
It's right on the edge of outrageous. It is. I mean, it's borderline outrageous and downright stupid, frankly. But I look.
I mean, are they going to be hamstrung by this?
No. But this is, again, they're the Red Sox. They're not hamstrung by anything.
Right.
They carried Pablo Sandoval and Hanley Ramirez on their books last year, and they won the World Series. So they're not going to be hamstrung by it. I'm just saying if we're going to actually play the game, if we're going to actually look at the contract and say good value or bad value, okay, it's really that simple. Bad value. Now, he might disprove it. Over the course of his career, if he ends up giving him 3 good years out of it and and they win again and he's a force in October, he'll be worth it.
I think
no question about it. But I'm telling you that I think there's a pretty good chance he never reaches the ceiling he reached again.
Yeah, I mean, he might have just caught lightning in a bottle in the postseason in the last month of the season, too, because he was their best pitcher towards the end of the year. But I think your bigger beef isn't with the Red Sox. It's baseball as a whole, where a middling stiff, as Eovaldi's been for most of his career, gets this kind of money now.
Yeah, but I'm not one of these people that laments where it has gone. I'm happy for Eovaldi. Good for him for getting the money. Like, I don't begrudge him for being able to cash in. In fact, a guy like him is what I like seeing. A guy who's had to work for it, fight for it, ultimately gets rewarded. And he made a couple of million bucks last year, but someone like Manny Machado will snort that for crying out loud. I don't mean that. You know,
well, like, no, you don't have to. It's all right.
No, I'm not. You know,
no, I get it.
He could wipe his bum with that is what I mean to say. And a guy like Eovaldi, you know, put his work in, fought back from injuries. Like, I'm happy for the guy. But if we're saying take the Red Sox out of it and take what we saw, the emotion of it. If we saw the numbers of this guy on the free agent market, we'd say, would you sign a guy like that? Sure. Yeah, I would take a flyer on him. I don't know. 2 years, $15 million? You know, if you want to give him three and 25, something like that.
So now he's worth $7 or $8 million a year, Murray.
4 and 70? Oh, that's crazy. Absolutely, positively crazy.
You were low anyway. I mean, 15, I thought, is what he was going to get, considering, you know, the interest from other teams, too.
So 15's too high.
Yeah, clearly.
I said it yesterday.
I know.
Yesterday, we used 4 and 60 as an example. It came in at 4 and 70. So I'm more pissed off than I was yesterday.
Your thoughts, people. Jeff in Connecticut. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Big fan. I like Eovaldi. I think the contract was a little high. But where's Sale going to get his money? And I'm hearing names like Robertson and Britton and Miller. Are we going to go after them or someone like Familia?
Okay, how do you feel about those options? Put Familia in there with Robertson, Britton, and Andrew Miller.
I like it. Yeah, I like it. I mean, I told you, the bullpen to me is the one area I would still focus on if Dombrowski. And I don't mind him taking a flyer with some of those guys out there, with someone with an injury history like an Andrew Miller, and you got to go 1 year with a vesting option and some incentives or whatever it is. I'd roll the dice here. I'd like a power lefty in that bullpen.
We've got Bill in the truck on. Back on that hockey thing. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, well, I think especially the Bruins. I think they're missing the role players. They're not established role players. I think when you bring them up in the system, it takes 4 years to be an established one. Like Thornton. He came up in the system and he knew his rule or his role. But also with the
Sean Thornton came up in the system. What are you nuts? He came from Anaheim, or so he was
Anaheim,
on three different teams before he got here.
But once he got here, it was his. I don't think anyone's claimed that spot yet. But also with the Blackhawks, I think same with them. They're missing their established role players. And also on D, I think they took a big hit when they missed Haldir Marson.
Yeah, Aljamar.
Nicholas Haljamarson.
Very good. So you got that one at the ready, Stu. Excellent. Yes, Jalmerson.
Nicholas Haljamarson.
Do the Bruins need an enforcer or a role guy? No. I mean, I take a little more toughness on the team. That's fine. But they need guys in the top six, not the bottom six. I'm not worried about the effing bottom six. I'm worried about the top six.
How about someone who can score?
Right. Thank you. Article out that the Patriots might be considering franchising Steven Gostkowski. Cam and Taunton, how do you feel about that?
I'm sorry, guys, have you seen the crap show that some of the kicking situations in this league are? There are three or four teams who refuse to kick extra points. The Buccaneers and Chargers have had a combined 13 kickers in the last 2 years. You have a steady situation and you're going to mess with it? Why?
$6 million is ridiculous for a freaking kicker, and he's not even that good anymore.
What do you mean, Mike? He's missed one kick under 50 yards all year. What do you mean he's not that good anymore?
Your last four championship games, he missed an extra point. Going back 4 years?
He's in his 30s. You're essentially looking at, I mean, let's be realistic here, kind of a rebuild in a way next year, right? Like, depending on what the hell's going to happen here with the coach, or is McDaniels going to be here? Might Brady retire? $6 million is too much for the kicker at that age.
I mean, I think $6 million for a kicker is insane.
My God, give me a break. No, it's too much money. If he's on an affordable contract, fine. $6 million on the franchise tag? It's also just a little, It doesn't taste good when you've got elite defensive guys like Trey Flowers becoming a free agent, and you let him go to franchise the kicker. Like, how's that taste?
I mean, if there were another franchise in the league that did that, we'd laugh at them. We would. We'd laugh at them. Like, and I don't know who you'd use as an example, but they let a good defensive player go and keep a kicker.
The 33-year-old kicker who's missed extra points in the last four championship games.
We would laugh at them if another team did that.
Jamie in Fitchburg on Evaldi. Go ahead, Jamie.
What's going on? What was that guy? Gostkowski's cousin? Holy smokes. But anyways, I'm calling about Evaldi. I know he's nails against the Yankees. His playoff performance gave it a tear to my eye. The Sox had more money than the Vatican, but $70 million to Evaldi, it makes me sick. I mean, the guy... He just, like Murray said, he's a meddling pitcher. I mean, I'm glad he got his money, but I think he's grossly overpaid. I agree with you, Maz. I'll leave you guys with that.
There's another one in a Maz camp right there.
I mean, look, I'm happy he's here. So at the end of the day, well, but when people say, see, again, I just
expect you to leave the show tonight and go in front of Fenway with a thumbs down for the rest of the night.
See, I can just separate the issues, Murray. That's all. I can separate the issues. So, you know, when someone says, well, it's not my money, what do I care? I don't care either. It's not my money. Pay him $30 million if you want. What do I care? At the end of the day, I'm not paying it. But the reality is that if you're going to do what we do and you look at individual signings and you look at how a team distributes its money and spends its payroll, there are certain guys you say are good values and other guys who aren't. Nathan Evaldi at 17 per is not a good value. Sorry, not a good value. And I don't think that is an opinion. I think that's a fact.
Okay. When did you care about the value of players?
When it's a point of discussion. This is what we do.
Maz, excellent answer. You could not have answered that better myself. I mean, that was perfect.
I mean, this is what we do.
You're correct. You're right.
We talk about stuff like this.
Someone gets signed. How much did he sign for? Is he worth it?
Right. Is he worth the money?
That's sort of sports radio 101. That's like the backbone of sports radio. He signed. What'd he get? Is he worth it? And I ask you why you care. Shame on me. Shame.
Shame.
Shame on me. Now, that's one you should have Stu at the ready.
I mean, to me, that is sort of a foundational thing.
That's a foundational sports radio topic. Yep. Is he worth the money he got? That's my fault.
You're forgiven.
Maz is now going to take me out back and blow me across the face with a moist sausage. Back with more and your thoughts right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Down he goes. A strikeout for Evaldi as Bregman is now 0-for-4. Second time they've struck him out tonight. Dropped down a little through the riser at 102. Four seamer by Bregman.
102 miles an hour. 102. Bregman comes up late in the game. Evaldi goes 102. Sit your ass down. Post that on Instagram, bitch. Like, that's what that was. I love that. That, to me, was one of the great moments of the game. Oh, did I love that. After that whole thing, here's Bregman in the box. Here's Evaldi on the mound. Elimination night. 102. Suck on that. They wouldn't throw him a fastball the whole series. 102, you can't hit that. Sit your fat ass down. No. Oh, I loved it. Oh, God, did I love that. 102. When's the last time a Red Sox pitcher threw 102?
That stuff usually comes home to roost.
What a bullet. Oh, my God. Sit on that one, bitch, and spin.
So that was Maz in late October after the Red Sox rub out the Houston Astros. And Nathan Evaldi strikes out Bregman with a great sort of statement pitch after the posting on Instagram and whatnot. Maz seemed pretty excited about Nathan Evaldi then.
Well, it was in the heat of competition.
And now not so much.
I'm just telling you, it's one thing to get. First of all, you're talking about competitive at bat in the world's the American League Championship Series, like, and that is a measure of sort of grit and competitiveness. I love that. I love everything about the guy, except the fact that he hasn't been durable. So I'll tell you what, Murray did a little research here during the break. I did some too. Okay, Evaldi started in 2011 through 2018, so I used the exact same time frame. Guys who have pitched basically the same innings, he has 850. So I put between 800 and 900 as set as parameters, and I set an ERA between 4 and 4.5, which is what he has. Okay, as his career, the comps who came up include Brandon McCarthy, Justin Masterson, Kevin Gausman with
Masterson,
the Orioles,
the kid who was here.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mike Fiers, who has pitched with the Brewers,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, I know him.
Scott Feldman. Miguel Gonzalez.
The kid that does those crazy show tunes bits for us?
Yeah. No, that's Mark Feldman.
Mark Feldman, yeah. Tim Lincecum, also on the list. Okay, but injured.
Been nothing the last time.
Right, yeah. Broke down and is now out of the game, basically. Aaron Harang, and I would just tell you, are any of those guys worth $17.5 million a year? $17 million a year?
Probably not.
No, not probably not. No. No, they're not.
And here's some other ones just based on win-loss record, because Evaldi, 44 wins, 53 wins in his career. Andrew Cashner, who's 46 and 79 in his career, he's making $9.5 million this coming season.
I'm sorry, Murray, how much?
$9.5 million.
$9.5 million, that would be less.
Yep. Brandon Morrow, who's 51 and 43 in his career, he'll be making $9 million next season.
$9 million.
And here's the capper, Jake Odorizzi, who's 47 and 48 in his career. Last year he made $6.3 million, and he's up for arbitration this year.
6.3. So my initial gut was 8 to 10. And two of those guys fall right between, and one of them was in the sixes, but he's up for arbitration, which means he'll get 8. So, like, I can't emphasize this enough, because Red Sox fans think I'm the devil, and I'm not. I like the guy.
You're one of his henchmen, though.
Yeah.
I like his compete. I like his arm. I like his off-speed stuff. I like all of it. 4 years and $17 million for a guy with that resume? Holy crap. That is, it's borderline outrageous. It is borderline outrageous.
Okay, that's Maz's take. He's sticking to it. Back to your phones as promised. Here's our buddy Corey Pesatora, the accordion champion of the world. I'm not making that up. Look it up. Corey joins us from Rhode Island. What's up, Corey?
No, I'm actually in Arkansas right now. I'm traveling.
Oh, you poor bastard. Hold on. They listen to accordion players in Arkansas?
It's a private fundraiser, actually, for kids that they wanted French music, so I got a French band together, and we're going to play some.
Excuse me. So good for them.
Yeah, French music in Arkansas. Yeah. Good luck with that.
Yeah, French music in Arkansas, exactly. I've done tango in Alabama. I've done it all. So, unfortunately, and I have to apologize, I'm not going to be around for any of these events. I don't get back till the 18th. I'm kind of on a tour. So, the people that run it are fabulous. You want to see it, and it's fun to hang with Felger and Maz there. And they're wonderful guys. Next year I'll send you some music. I'll send Jimmy some music if you guys want to do cuts of Christmas stuff. I'll do that. On Evaldi, I should say, as a Red Sox fan, I almost got thrown out of a Patriots watch party saying this. I said, trade Xander now, trade JBJ now, try to get rid of Price now, and trade Mookie Betts. I am for all those things. Blow it up. You got to do it all. I almost got thrown out of a party for that. On Evaldi, all I care about pitching-wise is really anything, all sports. All I care about is what you do in the playoffs. And he was almost Madison Bumgarner-esque last year. And that moment with Bregman, I thought, was the moment of the entire season. That was epic. I thought he was the MVP of the whole playoffs. You got to overpay. It sucks. But he's got balls, and this team needs balls. And I'm for it, just because all I care about is what you do in the postseason.
Okay. Hey, Corey, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Thanks for your help with Christmas in the City in the past. I, too, only care about the playoffs. Just generally speaking, especially in baseball, you generally get paid for the 162 and not the playoffs. It's usually just the opposite.
Well, because the playoffs are just no guarantee.
It's usually just the opposite. And the guys that you do pay based off of, you know, playoff performances, like Pablo Sandoval, typically a mistake. Okay, so that is the track record. Even though as fans, that's all I care about, too. I'm with them on that. The thing about blowing up the team, I mean, not even Maz, not even Beelzebub incarnate here would be looking for that. But when he mentioned Mookie Betts, Murray was once again nodding his head. Are you still on this Mookie Betts thing?
Yeah. If you could get like a frontline starter for him, you know, again, Jake DeGrom, the Mets aren't going to do it, but yes, I would do that. Yeah. Because, again, if we're just talking about postseason, because I'm with you, that's when it matters, the balls, production of the postseason. Mookie Betts has done precious little.
I prefer Lucifer, first of all. And secondly, as it pertains to the postseason. Like, listen, I like the guys who perform in October, too. Ideally, I like the guys who do both. Like, David Price did both this year, for the most part. He was good in the regular season, and he really came up big in the playoffs, particularly in a year where Chris Sale wasn't the same guy. So, fine, I like those guys, too. So we're going to give Steve Pierce $15 million a year? Is that what we're going to do? Like, you know, a platoon guy? 35 years old? But he does it in October. Let's give him $15 million. What the hell?
Couple of quick Patriots thoughts. Aaron and Dedham. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, guys. With the offensive line being so good this year and Isaiah Wynn not being a part of it, do you think Bill wasted another draft pick when he could have drafted a wide receiver, a tight end, or Lamar Jackson? Thanks.
Yes. 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 And yes. Yep.
No argument here.
A short guard. You know, he might be the tackle. He might not. But I'll say this. If Trent Brown is too expensive and you can't sign Trent Brown and Isaiah Wynn slides into left tackle and is a representative left tackle, then it's worth it.
Sure it is.
Left tackle is an important position.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, no, the guy who had a blown-out knee, who barely played, he's now going to be protecting the blind side of the 42-year-old quarterback. That's a great plan.
All I'm telling you is, so look, if he doesn't work out, it's a blown pick. But if he works out, taking a left tackle in the first round is worth it. That is that's a hugely important position. So, like, you just, I don't care how good the running back is. If you take a running back in the first round, you're stupid. The player, it doesn't matter how good the player is. It's a stupid position to take there. Left tackle, that's a first round value. So that's what I would say. If Isaiah Wynn becomes your left tackle and he's good, it was worth the pick.
So,
but anything short of that, no.
I still have a hard time getting past the idea that they wanted him as a guard because of his height. So how tall was Matt Light? You covered Matt Light.
6'4".
Okay, so this guy's similar then. I think he's 6'3 and a half. So, you know, but I'm just used now to Solder and Trent Brown.
Matt wasn't huge. Solder was huge.
I mean, they're 6'7", 6'8", and Brown's gigantic.
I don't think Matt Light was that. I'm going to look it up, though.
No, there's no way he was that big.
He wasn't that big. Steve in the car, what do you got on the Pats?
Yeah, gentlemen, if they waste the franchise tag on Gostkowski and let Flowers go, you got to remember, you know, Gostkowski missed an extra point in a 38-yarder in last year's Super Bowl. And he's been killing us in the playoffs for years. And I have very little trust in him to win us a game with a field goal. And I don't know why Bill has been keeping,
Yeah, I don't play. I sort of feel the same way.
Hush money.
But I do love, now we've gotten this campaign against the Patriots for franchising Stephen Gostkowski, when the only one that suggested it was an agent here on CBS.
An ex-agent on CBSSports.com. An article I read out of boredom yesterday. It's like, what the hell are we going to talk about?
No, we put it in the program mass process. Yeah. Like, it'll be on the website shortly. Paths to franchise Gostkowski.
But I will say, it is like them to do. It is like them to do. You know, they've done it in the past. They did it twice with Adam. I forgot they'd done it with this guy. It's just the kind of thing they would do, is let the pass rusher, the premium pass rusher, go because he costs too much money, while franchising the effing kicker. And again, I'm yelling at them for something they haven't done, but it feels like something they would do.
No, and you know what? And the other thing now is all he's doing on the kickoffs, I think, is kicking the ball out of the end zone. Like, at least,
well, every time he knocks it short, they bring it out to the 35 or the 40.
Exactly, because they can't cover it anymore. So this struck me during the Vikings game. I know that a couple of them were definitely out of the end zone. I want to say there was a return somewhere in there, but it's like they have now foregone that whole strategy of popping it up inside the 5 and then going down and making the tackle, because they can't make the tackle. So now they have to pay a guy $6 million to kick it out of the back of the end zone.
No, they
brilliant.
They had another return last week that went out to like the 36, 37.
The Vikes?
Yeah, the Vikes.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, I think
they
did.
I'll take your word for it.
I think they did.
Because it fits my agenda.
All right, we continue here from the Christmas in the City fundraiser at the Seaport Hotel. Come on by, donate money or toys. They could use both desperately. The fundraiser starts at 6, where, again, I give you the items that you can bid on. Great Celtics tickets, Bruins tickets, Patriots tickets, and Red Sox tickets to opening day, where these the banner. Those will be auctioned off in addition to a slew of other things. Great raffle items. We do have the Felger and Maz Christmas wreath behind us. I don't know if you want to show that simulcast again, Dave, real quick, but that features pictures of a 20-something-year-old Tony Maserati, who used to have hair, but they cut it with a hat, unfortunately. You got a picture of the Fuppets. You got a picture of me, my Globetrotters jersey, or the Washington Generals jersey, rather. So it's a Felger and Maz Reef. The high bid right now is $11, so I don't think it's going to take much. Maz has said that by the 98.5 The Sports placard there in the middle is a picture of Murray naked.
Yep, Murray in the nude.
So let's see if we can get more. Maybe it's
Jim Murray unplugged, as we like to say.
Let's see if we can get more than $11 for that. But great auction items, great raffle items here. You can just come in and donate toys or money at the door. They'll take that, desperately needed this year. Or come on in and bid on something else and join the fundraiser. So that's what's going on here. We'll get back to your phones after Murray's update.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Back to your phones. As promised, Tony Maz does not like the Evaldi contract. Ralphie in the car, how do you feel about it?
I think it's a good deal. Maz, you have no credibility whatsoever calling anything outrageous when you yourself suggested the Red Sox trade Rafi Devers for half a year, Manny Machado at the trade deadline. How do you think that would have turned out if they listened to you? And three reasons why I like the deal is he's good against your top opponents in the league. He's versatile. And two and three, it shows that the Red Sox realized that this window is not too long. They'd rather put all the chips under the table and go for it right again. And as a fan, I appreciate that. I want to go see.
Thank you. Thanks for the call, Ralphie. You care to respond, Anthony?
So I will tell you that I like the fact that they kept Evaldi. I like Evaldi. There's a lot to like there. I just think that, if you go by what we always go by, which is resume, age, all of that, and compare him to other people, there's no way you would pay any of those other guys $17 million a year. You wouldn't even think of it. And so the idea that he got as much as he did to me is absolutely nuts. Nuts. I thought he would get a little more than half of that.
Dan and Quincy, what do you think?
So compared to what other people, Tony, that are available to get in the event they didn't sign him?
Danny, I'm just telling you, I'm not comparing him. Let me finish. You asked me a question. You got to let me finish.
Yeah.
Okay? So I'm telling you, if you look at guys who came into the league in 2011 and did basically what Evaldi has done, none of those guys are worth $17 million a year.
I understand that, but if they didn't sign Evaldi, who did you advocate them getting? And if you're going to bring up these $8 million contracts, what does that guarantee? A 5 ERA and mediocrity? This guy was able to pitch in Boston in the playoff in a World Series environment. I think that's worth the money. What, are you more upset about the years or the average annual or the ball both or what?
Both.
The 4 years isn't bad.
4 years too many.
It is?
Yeah. Too many. I told you, I'd have gone three in a vesting option. If you really wanted to push me on it, I'd tell you this guy deserves a 2-year deal. But he's on the market, so he'll get three. I thought 3 and 40 was a pretty fair deal for a guy like this. But the market being what he is, he got 4 times 17. And so, again, Danny makes a mistake that a lot of people do. You hear and you say, I don't want Nathan Evaldi. No, I do want Nathan Evaldi. I like Nathan Evaldi. But there is a point where Nathan Evaldi is overpaid, and he has now crossed that line.
So who would you replace him with?
There's a million relievers out there.
Yeah, and it's not just that. It's so then your top four would be Sale, Price, Porcello, Eddie Rodriguez, and then we'll figure out your fifth starter.
Right, you're in good shape.
I mean, you're in better shape with Evaldi, don't get me wrong, but I don't know if you need to quote-unquote replace him.
You don't. And again, there are a lot of relievers out there, lefties, Andrew Miller, Doolittle, Kelvin Herrera. Like, there are a lot of relievers I could look at and say, if they signed two of those guys and know Evaldi, I'd have been all right with it.
617-779-0985, one open line for you at that number if you want it. Dreds in the car with the Celtics take. Go ahead, Dreds.
How you doing, guys? Happy holidays.
Same.
What I got to say is Jaylen Brown, I think it's essential that he has a good game today because we want his trade value to get up because right now, honestly, he's playing terrible, and we need him to play well so we can get more for his money. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yep. Do you think they're of a mind to trade Jaylen Brown, Maz?
I think he is a candidate. Yes, I do. And if they're not going to be able to pay everybody, so when you weigh it out and you say Kyrie, Hayward, Tatum, Brown, like sooner or later someone's going to go. And to me, Brown would be the guy I let go. I mean, hey, you know, it might end up being Hayward by that time because he'll be older and who knows. But it'll be one of those two. And if Brown gets better by then you make that decision and you keep Brown. If he doesn't, I think Brown and Rozier are candidates to be dealt now.
Okay.
Like at the deadline, I wouldn't really, if they could get some sort of impact guy that puts them over the top to win a championship, and then maybe they keep for another year. Oh, I think that they would entertain that.
There's a story on CBS Sports that says the Patriots are considering or would consider franchising Steven Gostkowski. How do you feel about that, Leo, in the car?
Hey, gentlemen, how are you? I just want to weigh in on a couple of contracts you're talking about, starting with Evaldi. And I don't want you to hang up on me, but I agree with Maz. I think he's been overpaid. He did perform well, but I think longevity, especially a pitcher in his, throwing the way he does, is not the answer. Throwing 102 with a couple surgeries, and then Gostkowski, like you said, he's a kicker, and I don't want these two to turn into the Krejcis of the baseball and football league.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there, Leo. You got through it. It was touch and go there.
Yeah, Michael Monotone there.
No, he made it. He made it.
He was clearer than Belichick.
finger was on the button, but this is the problem. You get saddled with a bad, you overvalue, and you get a bad contract, and that hurts your flexibility elsewhere. Krejci's the perfect example.
Absolutely. And look, again, the Red Sox are playing by different rules than the Bruins are. So the Bruins are in a hard cap league. That's a major problem. The Red Sox have a pile of money as big as the Hancock Building, for crying out loud. And so this is not going to put them under. I'm not suggesting that this is like a stupid move that will ruin the franchise. It's not. But if we're just going to evaluate it on what it is, he's overpaid. Nathan Eovaldi's overpaid. Honestly, I don't even think that that's much of a discussion.
Jordan in Boston has a Patriots thought for us. Go ahead, Jordan.
Yeah, so Alex Guerrero, where's he been at in all this? And, you know, is that affecting Gronk? And if he wasn't there, would Gronk be, you know, trained a little bit better and be playing better this year?
Fair question. He's not. He feels like he's lost explosiveness, feels like he's lost some strength. You know, the blocking game, which, again, we don't normally pay attention to, but you talk to the people that do, wasn't pretty this last week, hasn't been pretty all year. So he's lost strength and explosiveness. And all year he's bragging about bands that make her dance and just doing bands and not weights. Is that the right idea for him, to be doing bands and not weights? Is that not a fair question?
No, I mean, the thing that made him so awesome in his first, well, up until recently, it was his power, his strength, throwing guys out of the club, the ability to pick up a first down, like on that clear out play last week where he gets stopped by a small safety on third and one, and that ultimately ends up being the direct snap to James White play, which I hated. Like, Gronk is missing strength. So while he was able, and you mentioned the play earlier this week when Bedard was in the Pittsburgh game last year where he makes that shoe top catch that that Brady threw to him in the game in Pittsburgh. Like, okay, maybe the pliability helps there, but I'd rather him be stronger than be able to make a catch like that.
He just feels like a shell of himself.
Exactly.
Like, if we were to really look at all of the great highlights in Gronk's career, how many times has a guy approached to tackle him and Gronk stuck his arm out and just thrown him out of the way?
All I'm just saying, all three of these guys, Brady, Edelman, and Gronkowski, their performance has all gone down to varying degrees this year. And for years, and Brady, it's every other minute. They're telling us about how valuable this guy is and about how everything that he's done for them is, you know, it's all about Alex. It's all about Alex and the TB12 method and Alex and the TB12 method and the Alex and TB12 method. Well, now they're so good physically, we're not allowed to bring up the TB12 method? Well, that just seems logical to me.
Absolutely it does. And in the case of Gronk, that play where he got held up at the 39.5-yard line or whatever the heck it was.
Oh, boy.
And he couldn't power through and get a first down. Boy, that's eye-opening. Gronk would just—he would have those guys, safeties like that, for breakfast before.
Peter in Wilmington with a thought on Pat's Dolphins. Go ahead, Peter.
Hey, Michael, thank you for taking a call. So, just a quick thought on the game this week. Obviously, they got this game tagged as a potential, you know, loss to Miami coming up. But we got Pittsburgh following, and then you got the Jets and Buffalo following that, those two games. If they go win-win, is there any chance in your guys' mind, if they go win-win, that they lose, they drop the last two? Because I got a feeling they win out and they get the number one or two seed. Just your
Okay, babe. Yep, I think it's these next 2 weeks. Unless there might be a situation where if they lose in week 17, it doesn't matter where they're seeding.
Right.
Then they play their starters half the game, and they've had a couple of
give
those.
That one away. Right?
They've had a couple of giveaways like that over the years if they don't need the game. Although, other than that, you don't need to worry about those last two games.
No, they're not going to lose at home. I'm confident in them at home. They're 6-0 at home.
Never mind against that crap.
Right. They've played well at home, and emotionally they've shown up. And
what'd you say what the number is? They average 33.5 points a game, whatever the hell it is at home this year?
Yeah. They've averaged 33.5 at home. This Vikings game was their lowest offensive output of the year at home. And so now they're going to Miami, you take out the special teams and D scores, and they've averaged 18 points a game on the road. So this is I think you'll learn something this week. We have to see them be better on the road than they've been. And ideally, that's a win.
Okay, final word comes your way next. Felger and Mass from the Seaport.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best
Nobody
prices
marks.
And great free services. Nobody beats Town
Nobody.
Fair Tire.
Nobody.
So two pieces of sound in the final word today. It was established right at the top of the show that Maz hates the Nathan Eovaldi signing. How did you term it? It's borderline stupid.
Borderline outrageous.
It's not the signing. It's the contract.
Fiscally irresponsible. Well, that hate went into the red when Eovaldi's name actually got compared to a certain ace pitcher in the National League.
Ray in Las Vegas, what do you got for us, Ray?
Talk about a bad contract. I live out here. What's worse, his contract or the one that Kershaw got for $93 million over 3 years?
Who would you rather have over the next 3 years? Kershaw at his money or Eovaldi at his?
You can't be serious, right?
Yes.
Kershaw.
Eovaldi. What's he done in the playoffs?
For 3 years?
You know what, Mass? Three more years at 30-something million? And you know his ceiling? Now you know his ceiling.
I'd take Kershaw.
He's good, not great in the postseason. He's good, not great as a pitcher. He's lost his velocity.
I'd take Kershaw.
Well, now you're paying for the past and not projecting towards the future.
Okay.
That is bad general managing right there.
So that is 3 years. It's only 3 years. You make it sound like it's seven.
Yeah, so I feel like in the third year, Kershaw may not even be out there.
Yeah, Eovaldi might not be out there in July. Like, you're worried about the year three. Like, and the other thing is, what are you going to get? Like, are you going to get the same guy for a whole season that you got for, let's call it, not even half a season? Because he went through a little gap there in the middle where he sucked, which everybody conveniently forgets. So he started out like gangbusters, then he went cold, and then he picked it up again. So, and overall, again, I'm happy they kept the pitcher.
Seems it.
Murray, always piling on at the end.
Well, the Felger and Mass Fun Police were out in full force today, too, when it came to NBA intros.
I think you know what's important to these guys, this, Mass, really. To get the introduction and come out and do the woohoo, whoa, like they all got to do that crap, you know, like that's a big thing for them, apparently. You know, Hayward's not, he's not, you know, 6'9 out of Butler University. You know, like they all want to do that crap. He doesn't get to play.
Murray, it's an idea for the next video.
Felger Maz introduction.
Yes. It's all one stupid,
and,
like.
And, like, we'll be the other. Me, Jimmy Stewart, Billy Manny.
And it's all the same thing. Yeah,
Tucker, our intern. You guys can walk through us.
You're rolling dice. You're slapping that ass. You're making it rain. Like, I got it. Like, they all got some sort. And you know what? I probably dated myself.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, really did. Nothing wrong with a little swagger from players nowadays. Like, everybody wants just to walk out, like, oh, ready to play ball, sir.
Martin,
where do you need me, coach?
Martin, a little swagger? Have you seen these introductions?
Yeah, I kind of find it entertaining.
Oh, come on.
I do. It just adds to the game.
It does. It's add to the game. It's ridiculous.
Oh, it's not that bad.
You children.
From Melrose, 6'5", Jim.
Yeah, I would definitely roll those dice. Like, that would definitely be mine. I'm here, Coach Stevens. Where would you like me to go?
I know. I get it. It's the Cristal in the back of the limo with the big ass and the booty. I got it. All right, I got it. Can we play ball now? Like,
from the mean streets of Melrose, 6'4", 240 pounds, big Jim Murray.
Hey, I would do the dice roll. What's up?
I don't know what you weigh, but it's not 240, I don't think.
From Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 6'2", it's Mike Felger.
Boom. Where would you like me to where would you like me to go, Coach? I can Vogue if you'd like it.
Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.